Calling to order the planning board meeting for Tuesday, January 23rd, 6 p.m., City of Taney Town. Roll call, please.
Jim?
Here.
Susan?
Here.
Rocky? Ken? Daryl?
Here. We'd move for an approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Jim?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes. And approval of the minutes that are included in your packet, and you've had access to them. The meetings from the December 27th planning or public hearing minutes, as well as the 27th planning board minutes. We'd move for an approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Roll call.
Jim?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Daryl?
Thank you.
Daryl?
Yes. Thank you. Typically don't vote because we have another or two individuals. So at this point, we always set aside a short period of time for comments from citizens. If you choose to speak, we ask that you keep your comments to approximately 3 minutes or so per. If there's a little more than that, we don't have a large agenda, but still just out of consideration to everyone present. If at any point you have heard what you came to hear and you wish to leave, you don't have to wait for a break. You can excuse yourself at any point during the meeting. That way you don't feel obligated to stay all the way through the minutia at the end or to the end. So you will not insult us at all if you need to leave at any point during the meeting. And so at this point, I see some movement. If you'd like to, we would ask that you identify who you are, your address, if you live in our attendance area, and if you're a business, then what the business is, and then anything that you'd like to present. The board will hear you only tonight. We may ask a couple of clarifying questions, but with any hope, we won't give you any affirmation or rejection through our comments or whatever. We just try to hear tonight and then take into consideration what we have heard and then take action at a later time at the appropriate time. So if you want to set up your easel, I don't know what you need, but you're welcome to. In fact, instead of coming here, why don't you put it on that wall?
Well, the tape recorder's over there.
No. I'll talk loudly.
Okay. And then the two of us or three of us can't see it, and that way everybody else can see what you're wanting to present as well.
Well, thank you for letting us come here tonight. My name is Dave Conrad. I'm with Waste Management. I'm the engineering manager for the facilities that Waste Management has in Arkansas. With me tonight is Carl Simmons. He's our senior district manager. Where he goes, I go. He manages the operations of all the facilities in Arkansas. And behind me are two representatives from FTN Engineering, or Associates, I'm sorry. And they're going to help us through what I'm going to explain tonight. I do not live in Taney Town, but our facility here is here in Taney Town. It is within the city limits. We're coming to you tonight to explain that we're about to embark in the expansion process for the EcoVista landfill, formerly known as the Taney Town landfill. We have about 5.5 years of life remaining in the current permitted facility. It takes probably 4 years for us to get through the permitting process with the city, with ADEQ. So we're here tonight to start.
You can't use acronyms. You have to tell us.
Okay, good point. Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay.
ADEQ. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
And again, tonight is just really just a courtesy meeting to explain what we're getting ready to embark on. The first step is a zoning process with you, and also a certificate of need process with the Boston Mountain Solid Waste Management District. So those are the two main things that we're embarking on. Okay. We met with staff today, the city staff today, and we we were told to rezone our property to industrial, where currently residential mobile home park. So our first action with you on February 6th or thereabouts, we're going to submit a rezoning application to rezone our property to industrial. Okay? That's our first step. At the same time, we're going to embark with Boston Mountain Solid Waste Management District on submitting a certificate of need application. So those two things are going to be going on in parallel, if you will. Let me take 2 minutes, and then I will shut up or answer questions. If you're familiar with the site, our current landfill operations are in this area. Okay, is there a glare? Can you see?
I can see.
This is Arbor Acres Road on the top of the board. Our hauling company operations in this building. And if you drive by now, you see us doing landfilling operations in this location. As I said, we have about 5.5 years of life left, or airspace in this area, to fill. Our goal is to permit this red area, okay, that's about 10 acres of new landfill footprint, okay? If you can go out there, and I welcome any of you to come out and drive around the site with us, visit the site, get familiar with it at any time, just call us. These are two hills, if you will, and this is a valley in between, and we plan to line the valley where the red is and fill between those two hills and fill with trash in the valley. So that's a 10-acre expansion area. And then down the road, our plan is to do a 50-acre expansion over west on the same property that we currently own in this green area. This would be for municipal solid waste, this red and green area. And we also plan to expand in this purple area for what's called Class 4 waste, which is construction and demolition waste. Okay? I'll stop. I could talk for an hour probably about what our plans are, but I know you're limited in time, and I'll answer questions, or any of us will answer questions. So.
Board, this is the Jim. So this is the whole property, the orange, if you have not seen that already.
Okay. That looks like our property. We also know that down the road we have to do a large-scale development plan, but first off, I think our first step is to rezone into industrial.
Are the red and green areas different types of waste?
No.
Is that what you said? I was trying to.
This the
purple is different.
Purple is different. It's just construction and demolition waste. Like if there's a builder building a home, excess building products, lumber, roofing shingles, and that kind of stuff go in here.
And so there are different regulations for that type of waste?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are synthetically lined portions of the landfill where we have leachate collection. The water that rains on a landfill and percolates down through the trash is called leachate. I joke that you drink leachate every morning. Your water that percolates down through your coffee is a leachate that comes out the bottom. So,
not your joke.
What's that? Pretty bad joke.
It's just a different formula.
It's a different format. But no, this is municipal solid waste, and so is this. There's no difference. We just tried to delineate it in a different color because this is, we're calling this phase one. And we're going to call this phase two. We'll do this one first and that one second.
And how much life were you going to get expected out of the red and the green?
The red gave us about 12 years of life. Oh, that's right, I had it down here. The red gives us 12 years. The green gives us 14 years. So combined, it would be 26 years of.
But probably 17 before you would start on the green. Roughly.
17.
Because you have 5 left,
yes.
And then the red
is
5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 17 years. I thought you meant 2017. That was last year.
That was
gotcha.
So another 17 years before you really even get
absolutely
to the green phase.
Absolutely.
And so you fill in stages. You don't start work simultaneously.
No. we're just
even in the red and the green, there'll be stages throughout. If you'll notice this, the columns,
yeah.
The cells as we call them, they're so many acres at a time. And
exactly. Good point, Carl. This area up here that is currently permitted is about 80 acres. We don't build all 80 acres at one time. We don't landfill at all. We build it in cells, and that's what these dashed yellow lines are, delineating the different cells that we build over the years. Okay. We built this cell probably back in 2008, and we're currently landfilling up here. So we sort of marched our way up and are moving that way.
And so the areas highlighted in yellow currently, are they full, and they're just sitting there already?
Correct.
Okay.
The yellow, well, this is an old closed MSW landfill, okay? Closed, sealed, capped, done. This yellow is the existing Class 4 or construction and demolition waste landfill, and it's active. If you look at the photo carefully, that's waste pile there. This is an old closed Class 4 landfill, and this is our current operating landfill.
And your total area, acreage?
We own approximately 500 acres.
This?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how much of it will be permitted if this process goes forward?
Let's say that's 100, in rough numbers, 180, 230, 250 acres of the...
So about half.
I can get you more accurate numbers. I was just rounding a little bit.
It's just the first time I've heard it. So.
Sure.
All right. Board, do you have any questions about just the general presentation or anything? Do y'all have any?
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. And I think we'll see more of you probably 27th, certainly February. So.
And just in case there are citizens present that might have we're not going to entertain a lot of questions, but if you feel like it's pertinent to hearing, we'll be happy to do that. But again, no action tonight, that sort of thing. So I see your hand.
I just had a question. Just quick. What is it zoned now? And
mobile home park.
Oh, I didn't catch that. And you operate under that, and that's fine at this point, or is
there is a story behind that, but. Tinytown zoned us, well, your first zoning map or ordinance came out in 2009. We didn't realize that was happening, and we found ourselves zoned as a mobile home park. And today we think we just need to clear that up and straighten that out.
What do you think, yes. Courtney?
I think they are an existing non-conforming use.
Yep.
Grandfather.
Thank you.
And once again, you guys are not obligated to remain. If you want to leave, if you want to stay just for the entertainment value, unless the mayor sings and dances, I'm just telling you. You are free to go. Are there any other comments from citizens about
anything?
We're happy to hear it. And just for the record, did we get Rhonda's name? She didn't identify herself.
Rhonda Doudna, 462 Posey Lane.
Thank you. Okay, seeing that there are no other comments, we'll move forward with the agenda at this point. Nothing under old business, new business. We have the Victory Church rezoning request. We have already had the opportunity for hearing and public comments, and so unless Courtney, there's anything that you...
One additional thing is I'd just like to that I didn't state at the public hearing because it wasn't the time, but staff does recommend that you approve the rezoning request. The property is adjacent to the residential estate zoning already, will not have a significant impact on most of the infrastructure surrounding uses, and meets the lot size requirements for the zoning they're requesting. We do feel that this project can be compatible with conditions. We do have conditioned that they will note that water may not be available from a public water source on when they do their plat through the office.
So it would be physically printed on that plat?
Yeah.
Not just, okay.
Yes, just for protection of future mm-hmm. buyers. Mm-hmm. And I assume that Tim, since the problem has been made aware, will hopefully also inform his potential buyers. But they'll have to correct just their standard checklist things, and they need to connect to sewer where they're adjacent, and then they have to apply for all building permits before they start constructing homes. And Washington Water had some comments which I think need to be addressed on when they resubmit that plat to our office. And so, like I said, planning staff does recommend that you do approve the rezone.
Okay. Then at this point, regarding item 7A, Victory Church rezoning request, we would entertain a motion.
Move to approve with the conditional comments stated by Courtney.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Susan?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
And yes. All right.
That means you don't have to stay anymore.
Thank you very much. And now's a good time to ride the wake if you want to leave. And so item 7B, I am seeing that this was voluntarily tabled until next month.
They were not finished with construction and could not get their final inspections in time per our code. There were some things that they just didn't have done. So they took a little more time, and we'll get them next month.
All right. So then item 8, we will place or recommend that the Victory Church rezoning request be placed on City Council agenda for their action. No action further on our part is required or needed there. So item 9A, the review of approved projects and expirations.
I can't see you.
Stand up. Okay, South Point Subdivision Phase 1 is in construction. Tiny Town Winery, we issued a CO on 12/27/17. Burton Warehouse in construction. The building is pretty much down there, just doing some stuff inside. Edwards Commercial, the building is completed and has received their CFO, but pending, they've got to finish the irrigation and the sod.
Do we know what's in there yet?
It's a layout. It's an Alto lady that's putting it like stand-up things for Murphy's gas companies and Walmart and stuff like that.
Okay. Like,
displays.
Yeah.
Charles displays.
Thompson Warehouse, everything looks like it's completed, but the doorknobs and stuff like that on the interior. Venezia Piazza. They sent plans in today for footings for the five buildings and also the plans for the five buildings. So they're in construction. Hidden Valley in construction, Liberty Phase 2 in construction, Westbrook Phase 2 in construction, and Tiny Town Self Storage technical review. And I heard something about that today.
They're scheduled for the pre-construction meeting on Friday, so then expect to see construction start on that.
So where's my Boulder coffee?
They are finishing up in a different location, but they're still coming.
So they dropped off because they expired, and they'll come back and pay us again and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are finishing Fayetteville, I think, is what I heard. So, okay, before we go away on the Venezia, do we have the architectural rendering as to what those buildings will look like? Okay.
Yeah, so they can that come in today.
The architect has not been submitted yet.
Yeah, this is just a structural building.
Okay.
We will.
As soon as you get them, I just let us know. I'd like to swing by and take a peek at them.
Yes, sir.
Just,
okay.
Yeah. All right.
They think they're 2 weeks out.
Okay.
We're doing a partial approval because the gentleman had ordered the metal buildings and wants to get the footing poured, so.
Yep, okay. But it's five different buildings.
Yes, sir.
Correct. All right. 9B, the building activity.
The residential evaluation variance from last year is $400,000, $80,046.
That's good.
Commercial valuation is $95,091.20. Residential permit fees is $1,832.83. Commercial permit fees is the same.
No, it's no, not.
It's plus. I'm sorry. $846.82.
Mm-hmm.
Other permits is down currently $535. And then the total fees assessed is up $3,639.82.
So we're already $400,000 in residential permits.
Yes, with eight residential permits.
It's January.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done.
And this was printed on the 19th, so.
I've done eight houses as of today on finals.
On finals.
I'm raising the price of my house.
Yes.
Good news. Love that. Okay.
Wow.
So we are clipping right along. We're moving to item 10. Comments from staff. 10A.
Thank you. The first thing is we need to discuss our term limit expirations. Daryl, thank you for continuing to serve for another 2 years. We appreciate your commitment. Jim, we'll be sad to see you go. I do have something from the mayor.
We wanted to arm wrestle him and get him to stay.
Jim, in the service of the city of Tinytown, we want to thank you for everything that you've done. As a matter of fact, for all of our planning board members, these guys don't get paid a dime, and they actually come in and do extra meetings for us and do extra duty anytime that we ask them. And truly, the face of Tinytown is created by these individuals, and we can't thank them enough for their service, especially coming in at a time that the city of Tinytown was in quite a bit of turmoil when all these folks started. And in case you guys haven't noticed, you are the ones that have calmed Tinytown down, and we greatly appreciate you. Jim, thank you so much.
Speech.
Thank you. I miss us being in the paper.
I'll take a picture. Wait, where's my camera?
We will have our officer elections at the next meeting. I just wanted to give you a preview. That's in your packet as well. But
there's only two of you, so flip the coin.
Yes. Well, Sue may be moving soon, so she may.
Do you want me out of the way? I feel like I'm
you make a good background.
I felt
like I was
we would hope that Daryl and Rocky would stay in their chair and vice chair positions, and hopefully we can talk something new into being some of the other positions. But that is something that we'll discuss at our February meeting.
I thought y'all had somebody for
there is no other
suit,
just in case you're wondering.
For Ken? We do have something for Ken.
No, he thought there was already someone committed.
Oh, well.
I have someone who is going through the process.
Yes.
He's starting the paperwork tomorrow, actually. So.
Good.
Hopefully. Okay.
Susan's house is mold, by the way.
Oh.
You can't sell the right
room. You can't sell it at all.
Excuse me. Yours burnt out, so I don't need to talk about what's going on with mine.
Order. That's fun. Well, sincerely, thank you very much for your service to the city.
If we want to discuss possible dates for our next subcommittee, Rocky's not here, so I can probably send out a text since he's been one of the more active members of the subcommittee. But if you'll be thinking about those two dates, those have been the ones that washed to the top, let me know.
Either works for me, so if you just send it out again in a request, including Thank you.
The next planning board is Tuesday, February 27th. So far, I know that we'll have the Hidden Valley that got tabled at this meeting, as well as I am aware that Waste Management plans to bring their zoning request forward. And then
if people interested in serving on the board, what's the timeline for them being approved and sitting and joining us?
We would like it to be as soon as possible. If we get it on the city council for February's city council meeting.
So the whatever external review that takes place, all the forms that they have to fill out, the background checks, that sort of thing, how long does that normally take?
That is really a question for Lori, and I can ask her tomorrow. She's the one who runs the background checks in our office.
So when in the city council meeting is when?
The first Tuesday in February, so I think it's
the 6th.
So less than two, you think it can be done in less than 2 weeks, though?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I'm just trying to initiate
movement to make sure that it is.
Background check in 24 hours.
24 hours?
Okay.
And keep in mind, one planning, you're out of the planning area, so we can get one in city, one out. Mm-hmm. You can make that in two. Because right. You're an outline.
Right.
And Rhonda has graciously agreed to put out a request in her newsletter.
And the community page to
attract new planning board members, potentially.
Yeah, with all these residential people moving in, somebody needs to pull me out.
Yeah, we have invitation. Well, one has said yes, pending the approval, and then we have another invitation out already to another family that lives. Preference would be in the city, correct? Just because of vested interest? Is that the thinking?
I would think in the city, or at least in the planning area.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And we would really like to see a business owner, because we don't really have a lot of representation of business owners.
The one with the paperwork is a business owner.
Excellent.
So.
You know, I'd like to reiterate what Paul said. It really is a commitment to sit on this board, and so I know that it's a hard decision to make for a lot of people to graciously donate their time.
Right.
And Susan's house is more.
I can't say that on the record.
Okay.
Now we can move on to our synopsis of our subcommittee meeting from January 8th. Juliet had a PowerPoint. Do you want to come in briefly?
Yeah, it'll be brief.
Flip through to just go over what
we... Is there water in the fridge back here?
Let me take it.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I was just going to go through what we had at the last subcommittee meeting on the 8th.
Thank you.
We talked about our sign ordinance revision. Darryl, you were here. Neither of y'all were there.
No. So
I'll go through just real quick. So we've been talking about allowable sign types, you know, what's currently permitted and what's not. We've kind of gone through, we divided it into sections, you know, and we've gone through freestanding signs at the December subcommittee meeting, and then we were following up on that at this January one. So we made some changes to kind of generally what was permitted in each district. During at the December meeting, if you were at that one, we talked about using smaller double post signs and monument signs kind of interchangeably, and keeping those dimensions the same for those, with some restrictions. And then we started talking about, that those with some sort of lighting restrictions are more acceptable in residential and kind of transition areas. And then we talked about lighting along 412 in the more commercial areas and the types of signs there. Let's see. Digital signage, we started discussing digital signage and decided we needed to do a little more research. And then we also talked about looking at different heights of existing pylon signs and things on along 412 and in other parts of the city. So between the December and January meetings, Courtney and I went out and measured some signs to the best of our ability. It was an estimate. But, you know,
the photos were fun.
Yeah. And just to get an idea of kind of what's here, you know. So we did that. So it's the January meeting. We decided, we talked about, we need to clarify some of our definitions, get them a little more clear. Courtney was going to research some stuff regarding the PAM signage, multi-tenancy signage. So that's when you have, you know, multiple tenants in one, like how to handle that sort of signage. We went through that and talked about that that would probably be, you know, in a monument top sign sort of format. And then you, depending on the number of tenants, you would have kind of a graduated amount of space. Non-conforming signage, we talked about that with Justin was here from Justin Eichmann from Harrington Miller, just talking about the legalities of that, like different time frames that you could have to where people have to bring things into compliance and how that would work. And he was going to do some research too on that. But we were talking about basically giving people more time instead of less time, a longer time frame, and then possibly offering incentives for people going, bringing their signs into compliance ahead of time. We're going to kind of research what would be a good incentive on that. 412 overlay district. So we're talking about having a specific district along Highway 412. It would have some sort of minimum setback from the property line or the right-of-way line for new signage. The corridor width. Again, we're generally talking here, would be applicable to signage within 100 feet, basically of either side of the right-of-way for 412. That's kind of the draft proposal we talked about at that meeting. And then the corridor length would be along Highway 412 within the city limits, so along the whole thing, but then divided into two sections of sort of intensity, kind of more commercial intensity, you know, on your east side than you do on your west side. So we talked about having a height of 40 foot or less from the eastern city limits boundary to the intersection of approximately Jones Road. That's what I put, recording what, you know what I'm talking about? It was, I'll pull up a map here in a minute. But basically getting to the other side of that kind of industrial section. And then from there, from there over to the western city limits, allowing heights, sign height no taller than 25 feet. So, and then digital signage, we talked about that being, again, only allowed along Highway 412 and not in other parts of the city. And then we talked about several things, how often it could switch. You know, there can't be bouncing or scrolling, you know, it has to, and then just basically having digital signage and allowing it, but having it be the least distracting, you know, way possible. And then that all digital signage should also have a non-digital portion, and that it shouldn't be more, the digital part shouldn't be greater in size than the static portion of the sign. And then we never did decide exactly, well, would it be 50-50 or would we go 60-40? We weren't sure. Here's some of the amusing pictures that Daryl might, that just gives you an idea of the, you know, the different scale of signs, you know, that we have. It was very cold that day, I will also say. So the Phillips 66 ones were the two tallest ones that we found, and they're somewhere, you know, around 60 feet each. And you'll get before the next subcommittee meeting, we'll send out a totally revised version of the sign ordinance that has all the dimensions. So monument, and then we talk about multi-tenant signs. That's what we're talking about, so, you know, where it has several tenants listed on one sign. And that's just to keep you from having a proliferation of signage on one property, you know, having like five sign poles. And so if you have one out by the road, and just to be clear too, we only talked about multi-tenancy signage in that format for freestanding signs. They'll also be allowed to have a wall sign or whatever on the actual building.
Quick question about multi-tenant.
Yes.
If, I'm using Harbor Acres. Is that the new one up here that's in Springdale?
Oh,
but
yes.
But it's in us and I'm not.
Right.
Wherever it is. Harbor Crossing.
Harbor Crossing.
Does Harbor Crossing
count
as part of the sign?
Multi-tenant, because they're putting it all on one facing, right?
It's in the name of the development.
Right, so that was something we talked about. So we have a different category for subdivision signs. And we were talking about, could that be part of another thing? And I think so. So you can have a set, you'll be allowed to have a, like a development or subdivision identifier, as it were, yeah, whatever, Harbor Crossing, Commerce Park 2, or whatever, you know what I mean?
So.
And so you can have both of those, but it would be limited in size, that part.
Okay, so if the developer was less interested in promoting the area, or are you required to?
No, you're not required to. That's only if you want to.
So could you divide that space among all the other tenants and give them more space?
That's a good question.
We haven't.
I mean, I'm just, because if you're, the identifying, the development seems less important to me than, unless you're going to say at Harbor, whatever, Harbor Crossing, like McCain Mall or whatever. That's the first mall that came to mind. But anyway.
I built that mall with Melvin Simon and Associates.
Did you really?
Yeah, a little bit. Cool. I have a question on multi-tenant. How does one determine, is it the developer determines what order and who gets placed in first, second, third?
Yeah.
We have no control there.
And most developments, you know, they have like, if you, it's either based on square footage or, you know, you may get like the key spot, right? So if you're paying to rent, you know,
the corner.
Yeah, the corner piece or whatever, then, you know, part of your package is you get the larger sign on the, like, right, yeah. So, yeah, that's not something the city would determine. They're just going to look at the overall amount of signage.
So we don't have any control over fonts, colors, that's all up to the developer.
We haven't gotten into that part yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. That is something you can control. My thoughts, you know, other cities I've worked with is that I would choose your battles. You know, like think about like how much do you care about, you know, the font and the color if you can keep the sign shorter or smaller or so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it gets tricky because people have logos, right? And
right.
Logo's not just the font, but it's also the color and then a certain, I don't know, to me it can lead to squabbles that might, I don't know, like in the end, like does it really pay off? Or
right.
You know what I mean? So I'm not saying you can't do it, and there certainly are people that can. I think it's...
I prefer not to.
Okay, good.
Translucent background seems to be the biggest argument. Translucent background. How much of, if it's just on a bright white sheet with a few black letters, that shows up really well, but it's also glaring. And so there are some cities that require non-translucent backgrounds. They can be any color as long as the light doesn't shine through them. So during the day you see the color, but at night it's just black. And then your letters and everything else kind of glow through. Anyway.
Interesting. I'll have to do something if I'm not. Let's see. Those are just some examples of digital signage, you know, that y'all have.
And Arvest is a amalgamation of several different types of sign types.
Right, and we were discussing, you know, this, the top left corner, that's kind of, you know, what we're trying to avoid by having multi-tenant signs, you know, having everything all kind of hodgepodge together, you know, real close. As far as the future land use plan, so if you remember in January, I mean, in December we discussed goals 1 and 2, and everybody felt pretty good about that. And then we did not get to 3 and 4, so we discussed 3 and 4 at the meeting the other day, and I felt like we got good feedback. I mean, I don't know if you want me to read them, or y'all probably read them. If y'all have any
They're
questions.
Also in your packets.
Yeah, if y'all have any questions, let me know. But so we talked about basically making sure that we respond to the development, you know, that is existing around the edges of Tawny Town, right? You know, the things that have been set in motion by Springdale, you know, with the Arvest Ballpark District and the hospital and kind of that growth that's taking place right now, and thinking critically about that relationship and how, you know, Tawny Town can plan the best to tap into that and harness that growth as well. And then different connections, of course. You have the Arkansas Children's Hospital, that 56th Street connection that will happen, the 412 Northern Bypass when it connects in the western part of the city, and then ultimately that future connection with the regional airport and how that ties into the bypass, and just, you know, thinking and projecting what that's going to do. Talked about creating a friendly customer service oriented development environment, you know, where you can, where the city does a good job protecting quality of life, but has a good efficiency in dealing with development as it comes. And then updating the subdivision and development codes to increase clarity and ease of use. Having a series of commercial nodes, thinking about that for future growth, so that it's not just, you know, the linear elements that you have on 412 and in some areas on 112. So we looked at the current zoning that the city has, talked about that, different surrounding development. The airport access road and 412 bypass. And then goal 4 was talking about creating a diversity of residential development types that will serve all sectors of the community and ensure that those are integrated appropriately into the existing fabric of the city. So the objectives under that: plan for complete neighborhood service, land uses along with residential growth, so commercial services, offices, parks, and institutional uses that your residential developments will use. Revise zoning codes to allow many varying types of housing by right within areas of the city to promote a diverse housing opportunities within the city. And consider allowing cluster developments in more rural areas of the city, allowing for the retention of undeveloped land available for potential growth and infill as the city grows. So the cluster development, that's just talking about, you know, in your estate lot areas, offering different ways to do things than just having the large estate lots. They're kind of different markets for that appeal to different people who want a very large home and their own lot, but they don't want to maintain or pay to maintain, you know, for 3 to 4 acres, things like that. Having smaller lot lines and then having something that's POA or some other type of land that's reserved that people can enjoy and still kind of live in that environment. So that was something we talked about. And then just thinking about, you know, when we talked about goals 1 and 2, which I didn't go back through tonight, but, you know, kind of creating a core for the city and planning for growth, there's probably going to need to be a more diverse type of housing that takes place in the core area. To allow for growth and promote that growth. So those were just kind of the things that we talked about with that, and sort of just exploring each one of those as we go along with the future land use plan.
And the core refers to a city identity. It's like like a downtown, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, not. It doesn't even have to be a downtown. Just, what we've talked about in previous meetings is that the core of the city is really, it's here, you know? Mm-hmm. It's where City Hall is, and the park, you know, and then
the library and the post office.
Right.
And he kept
the church.
So mm-hmm. it really
and he kept the bell tower.
Yes.
Thank you for making that call.
So it really is on, you know, both sides of 412, and we want to try to keep that too, find a way to kind of keep that connected, but really think about how that growth happens.
And remind me the term we started using, and I can't remember it now.
Heritage.
Heritage, not historic
district,
but a heritage district. So, not that we're trying to preserve specific entities if where none exist or if they're too spread out, but a feeling or an attitude, a culture, sense, heritage. I like that.
So Courtney and I met earlier this week, and we talked about kind of what we want to work on in the next month. So based on those draft goals and objectives, we're going to start working on actual future land use categories that are reflective of those goals, you know, and get a draft list going with kind of a name and a brief description of each one. So some of them will be, you know, categories you have now or very similar, you know, and then some of them may be something new, like a specific zoning for, you know, that heritage district or, you know, the possibility of allowing like different kinds of cluster development or things like that. We're going to start an inventory of existing land uses within the city, and then we've started pulling together the future land use plans from all the surrounding cities, just so you know we have a good estimation of what they're looking at doing in the future, where they touch our city limits. Justin is going to have some research done on some of the sign issues that were pending for the next meeting. We talked to you about scheduling a type of charrette for the planning board I don't know if we'll be quite, you think we'll be ready at this next month? Probably the following month, where we really start having y'all look at actually proposing land uses in certain
marker on map.
You know, yeah, like actually drawing, like this is where, you know, I think this should be. So after we have our categories, you know, and then after that, I think when we have kind of a rough draft of that, or probably several different rough drafts, you know, based on our conversations, is when we'll move toward having the public meeting and then get public input. Then we're going to start, we kind of put a few things on hold while we're waiting for James to get back. So we're going to continue having meetings with community stakeholders, which was something that we'd started. We had a list we were working on. And then pick back up on the Master Street plan. And then something else that I've been working on that Courtney and I were talking about is different economic development potential, you know, for your city. Of the small cities that I work with, I think y'all have the least issue with that, just because, you know, you have great traffic count and location in regard to that sort of thing. But I think all the smaller cities, you know, that aren't part of kind of the big five in Northwest Arkansas, you know, they look at it, they face a slightly different economic development environment, honestly. You know, it's different than, you know, if they're in Springdale, you don't have as much industry and things. And so something I've started doing is talking to AEDC and the Northwest Arkansas Council and some different financial institutions to just talk about kind of those issues that I think are specific to the smaller cities. And part of it has to do with you know, commercial and retail type development, but then also different types of residential residential development and how you mix, you know, uses as well in regard to the different types of financing that people can get to actually utilize those, because it actually becomes kind of tricky, you know. You can't get basically any kind of conventional loan if you have the, you know, the model for the commercial on the bottom floor and the condos above. And you end up, you know, kind of attracting only a certain type of client that either is okay with adjustable rate loans or is paying cash, essentially. Unless those are rental units, you know. So making sure that we understand the specifics of kind of what the repercussions are of the different land use decisions, you know, that we're going to be looking at and making. And like, for instance, you wouldn't want to create a whole bunch of that if the people you're trying to serve, you know, aren't able to get those kinds of loans, because that's not, you know, what's going to happen. And so we've been having some really interesting discussions, and I've learned a lot. And I'm going to also put together kind of a different economic development kind of workbook too. You know, we also talked about, you know, the branding and identity, you know, for Tawny Town. And there's some different grants that you can get through the state and things to help with that. So I'm going to have kind of several different sections. Because I know with all the smaller cities too, you know, you have a smaller pot of money to work with, right? And so you want to get the most bang for your buck, right, that you can. And to me, so that would be searching out those grants and things, you know, that are available and pairing your money with those. So that's something that Courtney and I have been talking about and working on. Anyway, so that's kind of what that last bullet was. And that's all I really have, unless you have any questions.
Well done.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
Any other comments from staff?
No, sir.
All right. Any comments from board members? Item 11?
Nope.
Entertain a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second? All in favor say aye. Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.